Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were live at Cheltenham once again, Andy, weren't we?
Yeah, day three, and we had a chat about what we got to last night. That was quite a good bit of an incident with our head of live sport. You'll hear about that. Great guests today. Keith Allen, Lloyd Grossman on top form, Michelle Roux. So they were all good. We had a chat about our tech ops preoccupation with the word trousers. I decided I had enough of betting. We were about DJ Coddles and we did a birthday spread.
We did. We had a T20 birthday spread. So this should just about do you. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Andy Smart.
Andy Smart's with
good
us.
Good afternoon,
oh, Andy.
Yes.
Good to see you. Yeah, I'm just saying, you always put your tips out on social media. Maybe we should share them with class because you had a very good day. You had five winners yesterday,
didn't
you?
I did, yeah. And if Jerry Colom had got his nostril over the line first, I'd have had six, yeah. Wow. So that was a really close one. I'm really enjoying it this week. It's the favourites have been coming in, and I've had a 10-1 and an 8-1. So, yeah.
Well, on TSH&J, if you want to go and check out at Andy CSP, you'll see Andy's tips every day, and so he's been on form.
Talking of tips, we're not going with Paul Jacobs today. We're going with he's six times champion tips of the year. We're going with John Cadogan, seven times champion tips of the year.
Okay.
On his Twitter.
So he claims. So Andy, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I say last night, I think I might be in trouble with HR, actually, at the head office, after an incident involving our new head of live sport, Ellie.
Yes.
After racing, we were given wristbands.
Yeah, in one of the lounges.
For the lounge, They're quite hard to get off, you know, they're quite difficult. And I always bite mine off, because I thought, that's not the best way, and Ellie couldn't get hers off. So I tried wrenching it, but it wouldn't break, so I asked her if she'd mind if I bit hers.
Did he ask? He didn't ask.
I'm sure I asked.
No. What you suddenly did, you were pulling on it.
Excuse me.
You suddenly leant into her wrist and sort of took a bite out of it.
He turned around to see me nibbling at her wrist.
She had to go and have a tetanus. It was really
your
bad.
Wife's gallantly kissing her hand.
It was really bad. It was almost like Sir Walter Raleigh was in. He suddenly lunged for her wrist. It was a really, really strange moment.
John didn't want me to do his. I couldn't understand it.
No.
Really. Anyway, we still haven't given up on Prue Leith.
Oh, I think we have.
No, we haven't.
She played, if you've been following this, we tried to book her because she played Cheltenham last night, telling a few stories. I've never done a tour before. I'm 82. But I don't know what it was. Second half was Q&A. Money for old rope, really, wasn't it? Somebody came on.
We've all done it.
Yeah, that's of course. Yeah. So, but anyway, we said, can we get Prue in? She might come down racing in the afternoon. But we never heard from Hillary, her agent, which we think is a bit off.
Really.
Hillary could have at least got back to us and said, thanks, but no thanks.
We went and stood outside.
Nothing back.
We went and stood outside the theatre.
Yeah.
The show's called Nothing in Moderation, except for betting, of course.
Yeah.
And we decided that you should doorstepper, so like wait till the end of the show and she comes out and get an interview with her. Who do you fancy for the Gold Cup? Do you agree with John that Venetia Williams is good in the wet?
Let's have your tips for tomorrow. But anyway, we're still.
You wanted to heckle Hillary.
Yeah, I wanted to doorstep Hillary in a kind of Roger Cook side. Why did you never get back to us?
How much does Ken Hames go out?
Yeah, come on there.
Can Matthew Crucifix open a new branch of Aldi?
Yes.
Anyway, well, after racing, the sales team got us into the Edge of Violence Lounge. it was quite threatening, wasn't it?
There was just one or two people in there. Do you know you see certain people? He was a kind of young bloke with a thick neck. And he'd had a lot to drink. And he was right on the edge of violence, you know. Yeah. It only would have taken somebody just to brush against him. And you would have heard the roar go up. You get a lot of that here.
About 5:30.
Big gangs of lads in their sort of bum freezer suits, right on the edge of violence. Thankfully, it doesn't tend to overspill. But you know, you could smell it after years of going to football matches in the 70s.
We're all in a betting frenzy, of course, but it's all pointless. I mean, we worked it out. You're £10 up after 2 days.
Yeah,
I'm £7 up. You're what are you, John? Evens.
Yeah, so I mean, we just
all that effort for you.
We didn't have to go
quite well, thanks.
We didn't have to go off course at Fakenham, Don Littlewood's favourite course.
No, we certainly didn't. We're not going off course. It's vulgar, apparently.
We were very unlucky in the poshest race, the Johnny Henderson.
That was very unfortunate. Yes. Anything else you got up to last night? You can possibly broadcast. One of our assistant producers had a big day.
Did he?
And then came in because the very good the wine tipster Neil Phillips gave us some drinks from the good people at Glenfarclas, some whiskey cocktails. But of course, we're on air; we can't sit there and sup those. So, yes, one of our number came in and mind swept. He wasn't working. I've got a point. He wasn't working with us yesterday. It was a day off.
He started attacking Rupert about Aston Villa. He's a Chelsea fan. I had to point out to him they're only 3 points behind us, mate.
He got quite aggressive and then he fell asleep in the restaurant and indeed in the bar at the
hotel.
He's the
new heir to the Barman Dave Richards.
The Barman Dave Memorial Stakes. Yes,
he's. To anoint him, didn't we?
Infamous, of course, on Breakfast
Rupert's
with Alan Brazil.
Quote of the night was, "I've got a vineyard next to me in Chipping Camden." Yeah. You can't say that.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Bobbin Arbroath in his lorry can certainly relate to that.
And it was all good fun.
Now, Neil, the wine tipster, is back. Neil, there's bought us Cheltenham Pie. Which is a... It's got Doombar beer in it, which Neil told me.
No, Neil said it's got Doombar beer in the pie. I honestly thought it was a horse.
And he wrote it down.
So he's
written down Doombar beer at 10 to 1. Yeah, because I said earlier on, I couldn't realise how quick the morning had gone. I said, blimey, it's 20 to 1. And Andy Smart said, what is? How do I get on it? I said, no, it's the time, mate. It's like a disease. What's wrong with you? It's not all about
That's betting.
Good
odds, 20
to 1. Yeah, he's very good odds. But yeah, Neil has bought us the Cheltenham pie, which is a steak pie, Neil, isn't it?
Steak and ale
pie. It's absolutely fantastic. So
we've already knocked back Michelle Rue. He offered us lunch, but full English.
It was too much for us. Anyway, thank you very much. That's very kind of you, the wine tips that are coming through, as he always does, with food or drink.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Joining us now is actor Keith Allen. Hello, Keith, how are you?
Yeah, very good. You all good?
Good to see you again. You like a day's racing, don't you?
Yeah, I do it every year. Yeah, I'm a guest of Michael Dickinson.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the trainer?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
He's the only guy who went through all the winners on the first day, I think, years ago. He still holds that record.
Wow, wait.
Very entertaining.
Are you a successful punter when you do have a little flutter or not?
No. Absolutely. Don't you remember last year we took a pen and just...
Oh, that's right. It was a bit scattergun. Well, that's as good as any other system, really.
I think it works quite well.
Now, you've just been in a play, a musical recently, Rehab.
Yeah. I'd never done one before. It was fantastic. It went really, really well. I'm not a musical person. And neither were a lot of the people who came to see it. No, but this is true.
So you never had a singing role before in anything you've
done? Before you go anywhere with that, all right, Ian Dury couldn't sing.
No, he
couldn't.
What a great voice. What a great voice. Yeah, that's true.
That's my theory as well.
Go on.
All the people involved in it, like the writer, director, the MD, they've all been in rehab. So it's a very kind of... It's very respectful about the, you know, the process. And when people came to see it, a lot of people who had been in rehab actually were incredibly... It is very funny, by the way, but were incredibly moved to tears, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so good, and it is going into the West End in September. I don't know where, but...
It sounds quite zeitgeist, quite appropriate.
Oh, no, it's so bang on it at the minute. Yeah. It really is, and like I say, it is very funny.
Yeah.
I saw you in an episode of Agatha Raisin.
Shut up. No, we don't talk about that.
No, it's a good program. Nothing wrong with that.
Stop it. You're old. I'm earning money. You're old.
Yeah. You can't argue with that.
Only old people watch that.
Yes.
Maybe that's true. I don't know. Well, it's on Sky. That's quite young. You mentioned you weren't musical, but of course you did Vindaloo, the great football song. Did it get revived for Qatar? They normally do.
They get dusted off. They're not sending you a cheque?
Yeah, of course. What happens is it's that they end up on albums all over the world.
Yeah.
And then you get dough from radio plays. You know, it's a good drip feed.
Yeah.
I swear to
you. I mean, in the great sort of Littner musical songs, World in Motion as well, you've been there in a few of the great ones, haven't you, really?
Iconic, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Iconic. Well, I just watching that video again, that's just what a day that must have been.
It is very funny.
Putting that together.
So I'll tell you a story about that. Paul Kay, who played the Richard Ashcroft part, you know, in the video, just after we'd done it, had been released, he was going up to Edinburgh to do Edinburgh, I think. Anyway, he's in the toilet at Heathrow, and he's, you know, doing his business. And he was the only person there, and the door opened, and he stood there, and nobody appeared next to him. He thought, a bit weird, and no cubicle door opened. A little bit odd. So he finished his business, turned around, and there's The Verve.
Like, all of them?
Yeah, like that. Oh, yeah, funny, is it? And they loved it, actually.
Now, you're a Fulham fan.
Big time, yeah.
Yeah, and, I mean, Andy, you saw him a couple of weeks ago against Brentford. You weren't sure, were you?
I wasn't sure even against Chelsea when they beat Chelsea. I thought,
listen, there's a statistic, okay, which is quite well hidden, but we're in a league where I think we're second from bottom of... teams that have scored more chances, had more chances created against them.
Yeah.
And that's us. And I think in a lot of the games, I mean, look at Brighton. If they put away what they created, we wouldn't be anywhere near where we are at the minute. And funnily enough, I was watching Liverpool-Real Madrid last night. And I thought, actually, this is very Fulham like this. No, seriously, I thought Liverpool were just so pedestrian.
Yeah.
Slow. We look a bit leggy at the minute.
But he's done well. He's done well enough, then they're going to stay up.
I predicted, even when we were up at 6, 12th will do. And I think it will be about there. Mm. There or thereabouts.
He's been linked to sort of other bigger jobs. He's not linking him with the Tottenham job. You don't see it.
Sorry, I thought he said bigger job. No, I don't think
he's going. They're flattering to deceive a bit, then, your boys.
I think at the minute, look, if we get, you know, Willian, Palina and... Kenny on the pitch at the same time, then there's a lot more creativity than if they're not there, is what I'm saying. And I think we will stay out, of course we will, but we've really got to buy. We've got to buy.
William's been a revelation there. Yeah. I mean, he looked so finished at Arsenal. I loved him at Chelsea.
Yeah, but also, and Pereira, you know, he's nothing at United, but he's been brilliant for us. I've got to say, really good.
It's good. Really good.
And what else? So you got that in the West End later this year.
Yes.
What else are you up to at the minute?
Nothing.
No? Just taking it easy?
I'm 70 this year.
Really? Yeah. No. Really?
Yes, yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah. I don't care. I just garden. That's all I do.
You don't look it.
Thank you very much. Wait until about 6 o'clock tonight.
And do you like a bit of a flutter?
We've just said,
you're
not.
Well, I was just sat there thinking to myself, this is genius. Somebody's actually invented a way of losing money, but in an entertaining way.
Yeah,
very true.
And that's what's happened here with me. I'll lose a fistful, you know, but it's good fun.
Good stuff.
It's true.
Well, lovely to see you again.
And you too.
Thanks
really
for
good.
Popping in. Pleasure. And I see you're here with some pals today, so you're going to sort of be out and about.
Well, we're looking for the free booze. There's no free booze this year, is there?
No, I'm sorry.
This is
let,
so
let
bad.
Let you down. That's
right. Listen, I really appreciate letting me and my mates in. That's great. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks very much. So go and see Rehab the Musical. You're not sure where it's going to be on
in
the West End.
No, September in the West End somewhere.
September in the West End. Look out for it, Keith.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, we were enjoying the Cheltenham pie, which is a lovely.
Yes, there, Neil Phillips, the wine tipster, popped in with a big, fantastic beef and ale pie.
Wonderful, but we ran out of plates, so Andy smart fancied a bit. He's eating it out of the bowl.
He's eating it from...
Roy Grossman thought he was eating the whole pie.
It does look like
a bit desperate, Dan.
Yes, I think he's bitten off more than he can chew. Almost, he's struggling a little bit now. I think, but he's doing all right. He looks the part. A bit desperate, Dan, in the corner there.
Congratulations to Gianni Infantino. We haven't mentioned.
Yeah,
FIFA have announced he'll be sponsored by Bisto for 4 more years of gravy.
Oh yeah,
tremendous job.
Congratulations. I just saw David Conn from The Guardian tweeting about it. He said, during the 2011 FIFA corruption scandal, English FA chair David Bernstein said a one-candidate election was a flawed mandate. So what happens today? Gianni Infantino was re-elected by acclamation.
Yes.
Historic.
I
so
know,
basically, no one else ran against him. He just sort of wandered in and did it once again. So there
it's
we are.
Tremendous.
Well done to him.
We should congratulate Tony Incenzo, shouldn't we, really? Because he's tweeted about the fact that he's come into a fortune of money. It's tremendous.
Yeah. Maybe he's going to go and buy some strong...
He might go and buy
Tony
QPR.
For QPR. That would be fantastic.
You get a lot of games with 7 people attending for that. So well done to him.
You said well done, Tony, yeah.
Yeah, tremendous. And My sale sign stunt could have gone wrong, couldn't it, really? Yesterday I put some sale signs up at the Talksport shop. Paparazzi photographers started photographing it, and you thought possibly that people would think Talksport was for sale. The company share price could plummet.
Yeah, but some were a little bit worried about that, yeah, with some sort of subliminal message. That was very true, but thankfully not.
No, thankfully not. It was all very good. And what else have we had here? Oh, yes. No, I think I won't mention that. I'll do
no,
try.
Okay. There are some. It's good that you self-edit, because some of the stuff you actually want to share with the audience is probably not right.
Although I do have on the 4:15 tomorrow, I'll do my Everything Must Go sale.
Okay. So all the bits.
All the bits that I didn't
okay, all
use.
Okay, all the bits that I left. Fantastic.
Gyoza Swindles, for example.
Okay, well, that's just a flavour of what you can expect at 4:15 tomorrow. I'm sure you're definitely going to tune in for
the Japanese cricket commentator.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Joining us now, man, with an incredibly distinctive voice. A broadcaster, journalist and author and neighbour of our own Rupert Bell.
Absolutely.
It is Lloyd Grossman. Good to see you, Lloyd.
Well, it's jolly nice to be here.
Yes.
And, you know, I have to say, before we even begin this conversation, I know nothing about horses, and I know nothing about racing.
Hey.
And you know how when you listen to the radio, if someone comes in to talk about economics, you think, hey, this guy is an expert. You know, you just assume there's this default thing. Yeah, here's an expert. So for anyone who's listening, I know nothing about the subject we are going to be discussing.
What about sport in general? Do you like sport?
I do know about sport. And I play sport, it's very important to me, especially obscure things like American baseball.
You're a Red Sox fan.
I am a lifelong Red Sox fanatic.
Mm.
In terms of English football, I can say I'm a very keen Blythe Spartans supporter.
Well, okay. That's quite random. But Lloyd, how come?
Not many of them out there. Because years ago, I had a wonderful guitar teacher who was from Blythe.
Right.
And he said, if you're going to support anyone, you've got to support Blythe Spartans.
Oh.
And this was at a time when I was living virtually next door to Chelsea.
Mm.
And I thought, well, you know, should I go with Chelsea? No, it's too obvious. Blythe Spartans, they're going to make it someday, and I'm really excited.
You're
about
still
them.
Hanging in there. Have you ever been to see them play? Have you been to Blythe to see them play?
Not yet.
No,
not yet.
Still time.
Still time.
You know, you've got to save up some things for the bucket list.
Yes, of course.
You know, like Machu Picchu.
Yeah, and Blythe Spartans.
Yeah,
they're on everybody's list. That's very true.
It struck me that two TV shows you pioneered, Through the Keyhole and MasterChef, are still going strong. Right, you're no longer involved with them, but the format...
That could be the reason why they're still going strong.
They've kind of changed the formats. Have changed, but the actual titles and the heart of the show, it belongs to the shows that you did yourself.
Yeah, but I mean, it was funny because I was thinking back to the days when MasterChef was just a glint in the eye of the producer who invented the format, and having a discussion with some very senior people at the BBC, because I was hauled in to be, you know, he'd be a very good presenter, so I was hauled in to do it. And this very senior person at the BBC, no names, said, that is really a about the most rubbish idea
really
I have ever heard.
Wow.
And I said, well, why? And he said, well, why would anyone want to watch people eating someone else's food? I mean, I won't say that was typical BBC commissioning philosophy, but I mean, it was really interesting. They had no idea it was going to go on to become not only a great national success, but a huge kind of international thing.
Yeah.
And ditto when Through the Keyhole was first proposed, someone at TVAM said, well, this is absolutely disgusting. I mean, how can you invade people's privacy like that? I said, well, they are inviting us in. You know, it's hardly an invasion.
No.
So, you know, it's just interesting how, you know, over the course of those were both over 30 years ago, how, you know, attitudes have changed in terms of what is allowable, what is entertainment.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was great to participate in two shows which became, as they say about everything now,
iconic.
Iconic.
Iconic. Yeah, like this show.
Indeed. Oh, this wow. Is, some say that. Some do say that.
Everyone said. Not some. I mean, you're being too modest.
No, no, yes, I do. Nice. Yes, maybe I should. You know, that's wrong, really.
Yeah.
Of course, the other thing you're known for, Lloyd, maybe to a completely different audience and a lot of students, are your sources. A great staple of many a sort of store cupboard. Is that kind of bigger and bigger than you ever imagined it would?
Yeah, because it kind of started out as almost as a sort of hobby. Hmm. Because I like cooking. I'm an amateur. You know, I'm a total amateur, and the reason I like cooking is because I like eating.
Right.
You know, which seems to be quite logical. So, you know, and I wanted to try my hand at making something because I like products. I love merchandising. Love your sweatshirts, by the way. Oh, sorry, there aren't any. Speaking of merchandising. No, I like products and I like merchandising. So, I knew that I could do something really interesting and really good in that kind of sauce sphere. Mm. But I didn't ever think that it was necessarily going to become as big as it became. But that's, you know, that's cool. It's better than someone saying, I never thought it would be as small as it became.
Yeah. You know? The so, artisan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You must be in every supermarket region in the country, I would
assume. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, the supermarkets have been very good to us, to me, and to colleagues, and it's been very gratifying.
Yeah.
Very gratifying.
And you are a rugby fan as well, we understand, Lloyd.
I am a rugby fan, although the last time I actually played rugby, I was covering for the BBC. I spent 2 weeks in Ebbervale.
Oh, okay.
Covering the Ebbervale Garden Festival, which I have to say was not the single most exciting event in the world. And after about 5 days, I was getting a little bit restless, and someone said to me, do you play rugby? I said, no. Yes, rather modestly. Well, would you like to practice with the lads? And I said, yeah, absolutely. And I didn't realize the lads were Ebbervale.
Oh, dear.
And I was tackled so badly that I had to be carried off.
Oh, no.
I had to be carried off the pitch. So that was the last time I actually played it. But fortunately, because I live in the finest county in England, Gloucestershire, and we have the best rugby club in England, Gloucester, and the most beautiful rugby ground, I'm a great fan of Gloucester. Great fan of Gloucester. I'm being challenged, like all rugby fans, I'm being challenged slightly by what's going on in the Six Nations. You know, I'm a little bit concerned about England. But I like rugby. I prefer nowadays following sports that I can actually play myself. So, you know, I'm a very keen tennis player. And I play real tennis. Oh, and okay. I used to be a very good squash. Well, not very good. I was an okay squash player.
So. Now, finally, Rupert Bell is a neighbour of yours. Is he a good neighbour or a bad neighbour, Lloyd? Is there a lot of extraneous noise coming from the sort of Bell household? Or?
Rupert, I would say that when God created Rupert, he broke the mould.
That's a compliment, is it?
I'm not quite sure. Yeah, no, I mean, Rupert is not only probably the greatest sports broadcaster in the world. I think we all agree. We agree on that?
Well, I can't think of anybody else off the top of my head.
No, I mean, he is probably the greatest sports broadcaster in the world, possibly even the greatest broadcaster in the world. Yeah. You know, let's not...
No, okay.
You know, let's not be...
You'll get no argument from us. No.
Let's not quibble.
I'd say you're bigging him up a bit, but there we go.
Not only is he the greatest living broadcaster in the world, but he is also probably the world's best neighbour.
Oh, that's good
to
hear.
Very
that's good to hear. Well, Lloyd, it's been lovely to see you.
Lloyd, it's been lovely.
I do appreciate you popping into this. You say you're not a regular at Cheltenham, with sort of a once a decade.
I can't look. I have already today. I've lost the house. I've lost. I mean, the children will never go into higher education. The car has gone on to eBay. I can't afford to go to Cheltenham more than once every 10 years.
Wow. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Did you hear Lloyd, your neighbour?
What a ringing endorsement from your neighbour, Lloyd Grossman,
Lloyd,
calling you,
nice about you
the finest broadcaster, living broadcaster in the world. He's a man not given hyperbole, I understand.
Oh, I know. I don't know what he's been drinking in the chairman's box, but it's obviously quite a lot, I would have thought.
He's gone round to your house to do through the keyhole.
Well, yes. I'll tell you what he can do is he can go and pick up my temporary greenhouse, which my wife's just got home to say, got a bit of a crisis. Your temporary greenhouse that I thought I'd lovingly actually put into the ground and it wouldn't go anywhere if we had a strong wind, but it's now heading towards Lloyd's house.
It's blown into Lloyd's garden. We could have like neighbours at war. I mean, imagine if Rupert's through the keyhole.
Yeah, no, I have.
Imagine just opening the wrong drawer and thinking, oh my goodness, we're certainly not going to talk about that, like the Alan Partridge thing in the hotel.
Well, he has been in my house and I haven't got him to do it even after a lot of drink. Come on, do the party trick.
Yes,
I love the fact that he's a fan of Gloucestershire rugby.
Yes, it's a fantastic voice.
Well, I did hear the bit when he suddenly said Blythe Spartans, and that took me by surprise.
Yes. Yeah.
But I was surprised even you where Blythe was, but obviously he did. So anyway, no, he's a very good mate. No, he's good fun.
Indeed, yeah, very nice. Thank you for organising that for us. He's a lovely guy.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We caught up a little bit earlier on, didn't we, with Michel Roux Jr., chef and restaurateur. He's a massive sports fan. We often catch up with him at Cheltenham, where he works, of course, every year at the festival.
Cooking for 600 people today. You're here.
And with Manchester United in action tonight against Betis on the TalkSport 2, we did touch on that. So this is our conversation with him a little bit earlier on.
Well, Michel has invited us into the inner sanctum. This is quite something, isn't it, Andy?
I'm amazed. It's fantastic. Yeah. Yes, chef. Sorry.
You've always wanted to do that, haven't you?
Service! Yes! Come on.
That feeling of power. How many years have you been sort of coming here as a business?
Yeah, I think this is our 12th year, and it just gets bigger, bigger and better year and year. And, you know, it's Cheltenham. It's renowned all over the world as being the greatest sporting festival, and it is. It never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah. It's such a fabulous offering. You've got a lovely room out there, big room with a great view of the races, and it must take quite a bit of doing. So how long does it take to prepare for all these people?
Yeah, so, we're feeding about 600 guests today, and it's a full a la carte, so they get a choice of starters, mains, dessert, and then we go on afternoon tea as well. And like you said, we are on the finishing post, on the finishing line. It's fantastic view. So we start prep about a week before, and then the guys work through the night as well. So it's just constant prep.
Oops. Is this your team that you've worked with before? Do you bring them together just for Cheltenham, all these guys?
Yeah, so I've got my executive chef here, Claude, and my daughter as well, who's a chef, and we all come together. And then we have a team of chefs that we work with every year. And we all come together to do these events. Not just Cheltenham, but we're at Epsom, Newmarket as well, and Wimbledon as well, the big one at Wimbledon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk football in a minute, but is that right? You're a Wigan Warriors fan? Is this true?
I was a Wigan... Well, I still am a Wigan fan, yeah. Wigan Warriors. I used to follow them a lot. And I love my rugby league as much as I love my rugby union as well. And
what was the route into rugby league then? What got you into that?
One of my ex-head chefs was a Wigan lad. Right. And, of course, I just followed it because we went to lots of games together. And it was the heyday of Wigan.
Oh,
my word, what a team, yeah.
You were glory hunting, basically, weren't you?
Yeah, absolutely, unashamedly.
We normally are in a box been catered for by your great late uncle, of course.
Yeah.
This year we're not, though. We're in a little shop over there. So I had a pasty yesterday, thanks.
Not that you're bitter and it bothers you at all.
This
you've let it go.
Me seeing all this fabulous food.
Yeah.
Those were the days when you had a really nice corporate box here. Yeah. And you were wined and dined. And like you say, it was actually my dad, not my uncle.
Oh, sorry,
and there was that famous day where the knife wasn't sharp for the carving the beef.
It was very Fergie-like. He never said anything. He just gave him the eyes.
Oh, yes.
It was like a hairdryer without saying a word. And then suddenly everything, so he didn't look very happy.
He wasn't happy at all that day. I remember that one as if it was yesterday.
So Manchester United tonight, you can relax really, 4-1 up from the first leg, should be pretty easy, you would think.
I mean, it should be, on paper, three goal advantage should be easy. Hopefully Erik ten Hag will play some of the youngsters as well, and just keep the, rest the others. Maybe Casemiro will play, obviously, because I don't think he's banned in Europe, is he? So he'll get a good run out. But we should be into the next round.
Yeah, it's a lot better. I mean, leave out the 7-0. Better. It's actually been going pretty well. So you must be pleased.
Yeah, no, I am definitely. I mean, they're playing as a team. There's a purpose and there's a vision, and you can see that all the players are motivated and playing with a smile on their face. And it's nice to see.
Yeah, Garnacho's picked up an injury though. As I saw Erik ten Hag bemoaning all the injuries and suspensions. It's bad timing, isn't it?
It's very bad timing. But come on, we're fourth. Looking for third spot, Europa League, the Carabao Cup, still in the FA Cup. Come on, it can't be bad.
There we are, Michel Roux Jr. We caught up with a little bit earlier on. And that game, as we said, live on TalkSport 2 this evening. It's 5:45 kickoff. Jim Proudfoot, Matt Holland, your commentary team here on TalkSport. Of course, Andy Goldstein and Darren Bent will bring you Drive.
Just to think, we could have had his lovely lunch instead of that Cheltenham pie, which is repeating on me.
I thought the Cheltenham pie was fantastic.
It's a bit of a repeater.
Okay, well, I do apologise. Thanks for sharing that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Front running. We've noticed there's been a fair bit of front running so far at Cheltenham.
Yeah, front running's the way forward. Love front running. Love front running rides. The good thing about front running is that you can set your own fractions. You can go the speed that you want. You can control the race. And some people think it's a negative because it means that you're setting up the race for other people. But as we've seen to very good effect this week, actually, if you get it right, you're at an advantage over the others as opposed to a disadvantage. I'm a massive fan of front running. My mother always used to tell me when I rode for her, go out there and set your own pace. Do what you want. The horse obviously has the ability to see all of the jumps very clearly because they're in front, so they should jump better. And you also take out the potential of getting caught in traffic as well. You know, getting stuck behind a horse who's not jumping very well is a massive detriment. You want to get into a good rhythm and jump from fence to fence, and if you're in front, you can do that.
I've got a bit of an unusual request for you guys. Would you all mind saying the word trousers?
Trousers?
There we are. Come on, we could do have a clean one. Give that to us again, Lizzie.
Trousers.
Okay, Rupert, can we have one from you?
Trousers.
trousers.
When Lloyd Grossman left the studio here, the shop, Simon was disappointed that
Simon's the man on the decks for us on the controls.
He was disappointed that Lloyd hadn't said the word trousers.
He then told us he collects celebrities saying the word trousers, and he plans one day to do a mystery trousers audio competition.
Who's saying trousers? So it's going to host it.
It's one of the weirdest things that I've ever heard.
Yes, Andy, would you like to say trousers?
Trousers.
Oh, tremendous.
Trousers. Okay, fair enough.
Yes.
Well, that was very nice and gravelly, wasn't it?
It was, wasn't it?
Trousers.
Give it another couple of hours and be like Louis Armstrong.
Fantastic. Well, so, Rupert, oh, sorry, carry on. What
well,
were you
no,
say?
I'm just thinking, they're wanting to do a dance mix of the word trousers. There is a dance mix going around that the Jockey Club did. And it's got poor old Ian Bartlett doing it, and it is, well, it's a shocker.
No, we spoke to him, DJ Coddles.
No, not Coddles, that's what they were eating earlier on. DJ Coddles. Well, DJ Coddles is a big plate of bacon and sausages.
Well, can I say something? Well, DJ Coddles' tunes was as bad as the coddle that I ate, which I did not like. That was disgusting. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Neil brought the food. He was very proud. He said, I can't bring you alcohol today. So my immediate reaction was, why not? And then he said, no, got to pace it. So he brought me a plate of coddle. And I have to say...
well, the sausages hadn't had the benefit of seeing a frying pan, which wasn't a benefit, was it?
Oh, no, they may have just boiled them. I just looked
how
like
revolting.
It just looked like... Well, anyway, just been slopped in some sauce and some of those. Anyway, it wasn't
kind of a pretty picture.
Yeah. It did have some oats in there as well.
Oats? Well, okay.
Sure, that were lentils or something.
And bacon.
Feed it to the horses.
It's great here.
Glenn Coddle? doesn't really work, does it? You're right, Andy. He's having a little coughing fit.
Sorry, I did say Glenn Coddle.
So, yes, do you want to say something, Andy?
Well, I just want to say that we are very open here, and it's lovely to see everybody in there. We've had a lot of nice people. But one bloke just knocked on the door. He wanted to be interviewed.
Yeah, he just said, he clearly lied through his teeth. He said, I was told to report here, I need to be interviewed. He was drunk as a skunk, he was. Sweating profusely. And he was the last bloke you'd put on air.
Was that Will, then?
Yeah, probably.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, Charlie Baker has been out and about on the course over the last few days. He's on tour at the moment. He's in Brighton this evening, and he couldn't have made that journey from Cheltenham to Brighton. So he sat today out, and in his place is Ben Fletcher. And Ben's been out and about on the course today. And I think we can hear from Mark Durden-Smith, the voice of rugby for many years. Here he is.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. I'm in the world-famous green room with broadcaster Mark Durden-Smith. Mark, thanks for joining us live on TalkSport. How's your day going so far?
Thanks for calling it the world-famous green room. I didn't realise we'd gone global, but we are megastars of the hospitality world. I'm slightly overstating the case here. And as you can see, we've had quite a good time. My voice might be appropriate, a little bit hoarsey, but it's still I'm not mute yet, but I'm getting there. But actually, I've been amazing 3 days so far. How emotional was Tuesday, Wednesday, a little bit more sort of standard Cheltenham Festival, and today so many backstories, even though I know next to nothing about horse racing. Well,
neither do we.
Okay, good. Well, that's pointed out to me on a regular basis, because AP McCoy is our, I'm not name dropping here, but he's our ambassador in here, along with John Joe O'Neill Jr. So I try and learn a little bit so I don't look completely foolish. But no, it's an amazing place to be. 280,000, whatever the stats are this week, having an amazingly good time. And this is quite a fun place to be, if I'm being really honest.
It is fantastic. The train strikes today, a lot of concerns over it being a quieter festival than usual. But from what I've seen so far, seems busy enough to me.
Well, I think that's the thing, isn't it? When you have these headwinds and these challenges to get here, and you know your children might be off school, which I can understand, there are loads of people around the country having a miserable day. But if you've made it here to Cheltenham, you're going to make the most of it, aren't you?
Absolutely right. Well, me included, my first time, and it's been fantastic so far, which is surprising for someone who's been at TalkSport for 15 years, but I've only just got the invitation from Hawksby and Jacobs, so there we go. A little word on the rugby, if I may. England playing Ireland on Saturday, very difficult Six Nations for them so far. How have you read it? Transitional period for the new side?
I know why you haven't been invited to Cheltenham before, because it's your dress sense. You are looking shabby. You've got a Caribbean shirt on. You've got a jacket from the 1980s. I would throw you out of this festival. I'm with your other two back in the studio. It's a long-awaited debut by you at Cheltenham. Saturday, I mean, I am the most optimistic of England rugby supporters, and I am desperate for that team to find some form and suddenly gel. But it's so unlikely to happen on Saturday. Mike Tindall's in the house. He's also a Green Room boy. Even he, who is, as you know, very patriotic, the budget royal himself, is is not giving it much hope either. So I think there aren't many English rugby supporters who think we're going to do it. If we do, amazing. But if we don't, in Dublin, the Green Room's going to Dublin too. We're on a massive world tour. Thank you. We started where we finished. We'll finish where we started. And I think we'll have a really good weekend in Dublin when Ireland win a Grand Slam on home turf for the first time.
Yeah, win or lose, we'll hit the, you know, the rest. And heading into a World Cup, it's better to have things to work on and stuff to know that you need to develop on rather than have a full sense of confidence.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? When South Africa won the last World Cup, no one really gave them too much of a hope. And they, for what, 6 months out, 7 months out, they went and won the thing with Razzy Erasmus pulling the strings. It's unlikely to happen with this English personnel, but they're talented rugby players, so things could happen. And so I will keep those fingers firmly crossed the next, 8 months now.
Mark, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Nice to speak to you. Thanks.
Shabby. That's a bit much, isn't it? Poor old Fletch being called shabby to his face.
He's got a point, isn't he?
Fair enough, yeah. Mark Durden-Smith, their broadcaster, or Durders, apparently, to his friend, which has led you to think of some TV formats. I mean, I take it only Durders in the building would be. I don't know quite what that is. All we've got. It's basically...
Midsummer Durders.
Yeah, it's basically taking the
word... Dial D for Durders.
Murder or murders and putting Durders there. So it's a fairly...
It's limited, isn't it?
Durders on the Orient Express, yeah, Channel limited. 5, and there he is on the... Durders, she wrote. You get the idea with that. That's it. That's all it is.
Yes, it is.
No more artful than that.
A little bit limited.
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
I understand you've lined up a special horse racing-based T20 birthday spread for
that
me.
That is exactly right. Got the birthdays out of the racing post.
We better crack on then.
Yeah.
It's pretty straightforward. Five birthdays of people in the world of racing this week. Andy and I got a guess their ages. The one, as we build a margin of error, because we're not going to get them exactly right, The one with the shortest margin of error over five birthdays is the winner. The great Pelé and Sergio Mendes supply the music, and here they are. Okay, Andy, give us the first birthday.
Okay, the first birthday is the trainer of Kingston Hill and postponed, Roger Varian. And his family's expanded quite rapidly since the pandemic. There's a new Varian every 9 months.
Oh, okay. Do you know who he is?
Vaguely, yes.
Okay, I'll go first, so you could get a real, you could steal a bit of a gallop on me in this one. I'd say, 61.
I'm going to go 46.
Oh.
He's 44.
Oh. I'm at a disadvantage.
That was
Can
a disadvantage.
I call it back?
I think you are a bit of a disadvantage.
Yeah. So what's the... 17-2.
Yes, okay.
Wow, not a good start.
Can't we make you live, John, so that we can actually hear you when you do the scoring? I think you are allowed.
No. Okay. 17-2, as it's then. Want more money. 17-2.
Okay, he was the champion jockey in South Africa in 1996, Wei Chong Marwing. And his brother, Brian, is a football pundit on Chinese TV. He always talks about the Sunji Highs of this world.
Yes.
Brian Marwing.
1996, did you say?
Champion jockey in South Africa,
1996.
I think I've seen him riding in Hong Kong.
You know all these, don't you? Yeah.
Well, we go to Hong Kong quite a lot in Happy Valley. I think I'm sure I've seen him.
He's a good mate. He always goes to the improv shows, Wei Chong.
I'd say, what am I going to say? I'm going to say 51.
I'll go 57.
53.
Oh, what's that done to the scores
Andy,
then?
You're good at this.
Okay, 421. This is going to take some clawing back. This is.
I can't believe we can't make his mic work. That's
number. Do you know when you have those walk-on parts? People would go into the cabin in Coronation Street or Crossroads. Would you like your keys, Mr. Cadigan? And they just nod. As soon as they say yes, they want more money.
You should have got that bloke who wanted to be interviewed today.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Next third birthday. Andy.
Okay, five-time jockeying.
Five-time jockey. He's only ridden five times.
Five-time champion jockeying. France, Cash Asmussen.
Good old Cash in the Asmussen.
Well, he's here, as usual, right. Staying in the eaves of the roof of John Joe Neal's yard. Yes, Cash in the attic.
Cash in the attic. Do you know who Cash Asmussen is?
Well, he was quite big in the sort of... I'm not giving you clues.
he's psyching you out like he does every
64.
A little bit younger than that, I'd say 48.
Oh.
No, you're in trouble. He's 61.
Oh.
I've blown it.
What's that done to the scores?
Oh, this Ooh, is game on now. 24/17.
A copy of the Weatherfield Gazette.
Yes, that's right. Hello, Mrs. Johnson. How's your husband? Stop nodding. Just answer me. I can't answer you. I'll get more money. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's the seven-time leading owner in New York, Michael Dubb.
Michael Dubb.
And he's actually in the next shop along to us selling loose sweets. I popped next door for 500 grams of the Dubb mix.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, very good. Michael Dubb, what do you think, Andy?
Michael Dubb, I'm saying 65.
70.
67.
Ooh. So what's that done to the scores? Okay. Does that mean Andy has to kick off on this last one? You go first on the last one. 27-19. So what are you laughing at, you Lou?
I can't hear him, that's why.
Okay.
About 2 feet away from me.
Eight between us. Here we are.
He's here for
okay.
today,
aren't he? David Brace, OBE.
David Brace.
Joint owner of Dunraven Stud, David Brace. He also designed an elasticated undergarment for commentators. You must have heard of the Dave Brace girdle.
Oh, that's very good, Thank you very much. Nice, yeah, if you're a fan of commentaries on Talk Sport. So,
David Brace.
David Brace. WG
Brace.
WD Brace.
I'm going to go 68.
68, David Brace. So, okay, I've got to be sort of nine, haven't I, either way. I'll go 77.
He is, in fact, 72.
Oh! So the final scores.
Oh, mic finally worked.
Oh, okay, there we go. So suddenly we've got to give him more money now. You happy?
I am.
He had a walk-on part where he nodded. He got his keys.
He was holding up fingers, and then you had to go, no, put his mic on.
Now suddenly he's on union rate.
I thought it added to the whole production myself.
Double cash he's on now, just for saying that. Well, that is it, I think. I believe our work here is done.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, yes, there we are. That was this afternoon's show. We're back tomorrow for the Gold Cup, our final day at the Cheltenham Festival. Do hope you can join us. More top guests and live racing, etc., etc. Until then, thanks for listening, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.